This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Gordy Hebb. Hey, it's great to have a chance to talk with you about Star Wars Battlefront and the music for the new DLC, the Death Star.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've heard that you've been in love with the music of John Williams ever since you heard it as a kid. And I'm just wondering if you remember what it was that really, like, spoke to you about it.
Yeah, you know, actually, interestingly enough, the first time that I really took notice of music of John Williams was when I saw E.T. And I was pretty young, probably 6 years old or something like that. And I just recall watching the film and not being able to remember the characters' names, but I could remember every note from the score. So I'd pick it out of my dad's guitar and, you know, noodle around on the piano and try to find those melodies. I think that's almost the, you know, definitive moment that I kind of decided I wanted to try to write music. So John Williams was certainly, you know, the original inspiration for that.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And listening to your score for Battlefront, you know, I can kind of hear John Williams say, you know, maybe like in his Darth Vader voice, "Ha, the apprentice has become the master."
That's great.
Well, you've had some practice before writing music in John Williams style for Star Wars Connect and, of course, The Old Republic. But what was different about this project?
First, I'll start by saying with The Old Republic, that was, you know, our goal there was to sort of write music that would predate all of the music of the Star Wars universe by about 2,000 years. So we were almost writing the classical music equivalent of the Star Wars music if Star Wars music is modern. And with Kinect Star Wars, it was more rooted in the prequels. But with Battlefront, my directive was to write music that could seamlessly fit with the original trilogy, so A New Hope through Return of the Jedi. And so that was unique, but also to bring, you know, a unique voice of my own to that sound as well.
Yeah, that must have been the real challenge because, you know, unlike just recreating, there was that guy in Texas who recreated a Vermeer painting because he figured out how to use mirrors and the camera obscura and stuff. And yeah, it looks like Vermeer, but it's just kind of there on the canvas. And your music is so alive. I mean, you get such a sense of maybe these were lost tracks from a Star Wars film.
And that's cool that you say that, because that's exactly what, you know, they asked me to do, is to write music that would sound like it was the, you know, as they put it, the B-side to the original soundtrack release on vinyl. And so I had sort of two approaches in mind when I was thinking about this, and I chose one that I think was the better of the two choices. The first would be to do sort of a paint-by-numbers approach, which is, you know, imitating the form or imitating using direct melodies and then reharmonizing it or something along those lines. But I feel like if you take that approach, I mean, it always looks like a paint-by-numbers. And the other option would be to just sort of adapt my own color palette to match that of John Williams. So studying the music, listening to it, and just sort of, you know, collecting what the idioms of that sound is. But then just writing my own music, my own original ideas, but just using that palette instead. And I felt like that approach worked out better for, you know, being original, but it still feels like it lives in that universe.
Yeah, definitely. And you did get to use some of the themes for the thing. So those were kind of a little points of departure for you too.
Right, exactly. Which that was cool because, you know, in all of the in-game music and all of the, you know, quote, original music for Battlefront, there are no John Williams themes, but however, for the heroes, we wanted to have fanfares that introduce each hero as you choose to play, you know, as Chewbacca or, you know, Darth Vader or whoever you choose to play as. There's a short, maybe 15-second intro for that hero. And so for those, we wanted to use the iconic themes. And so that was a lot of fun because we, you know, we re-recorded those so that we could have really short, quick fanfare-ish versions of each character theme. And that was kind of a, it was pretty cool to sit in the room with the same orchestra and hear that music played, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet, because you got to use the London Symphony Orchestra, all like 100 of them at Abbey Road. It must have been like, I don't know, getting the keys to a Lamborghini, right? I mean, just like.
Yeah, in a way, it really was. And then they continuously gave me the keys and let me drive it again and again, which, you know, was pretty cool, I must say. But yeah, I mean, that orchestra, of course, they're amazing. And they really are kind of the sound of Star Wars in a lot of ways. I mean, the way they play and the way you hear that original music is, you know, of course, it's John Williams' music, but the people bringing it to life, that's the London Symphony, at least on the original soundtracks. And the studio we chose to use, too, recording at Abbey Road. I mean, the prequels have this bright sort of live symphonic sound, and that was something we definitely wanted to try to aim towards. And, you know, that studio just really brings all of that music to life, in my opinion.
It's really incredible how much life a studio, I mean, how much a studio can affect the sound. And I hear that time and time again from composers. It's like, well, yeah, they do these mock-ups, but once you get in there and you get the studio, it's like a completely, like visiting a parallel universe where all of a sudden everything's like really alive.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very true. And I mean, you know, because for a long time, I mean, maybe, you know, 6 months in advance of getting to do these recording sessions, we're living with hearing these mock-ups that my team does. So I'm sort of old fashioned. So I write everything by hand, and I have a team of guys that will create mock-ups of this music that, you know, sound like roughly like what the orchestra will sound like. And they're very convincing, and you get really used to hearing how that sounds. And then suddenly you hear the London Symphony played, and it's, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, you completely forget how those mock-ups, you know, sort of are two dimensional. And then suddenly everything is in three dimensions and just living and breathing. It's kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah. And I have so much respect for them, too, because, you know, more often than not, they pretty much get it on the first take, or at least pretty darn close, right?
Yes, absolutely. And with Battlefront, you know, we're trying to record quite a bit of music in a relatively short amount of time. So probably, I would say, 4 times faster than maybe John Williams had to record this music. So, you know, we probably get on average 3 takes per piece of music. And some of this stuff is extremely hard to play. So the first read is almost like a rehearsal, but it's basically perfect. And then take two is completely usable, and take three is more of a safety, just to have a second option. So that's pretty amazing, considering how hard this music is to play.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, you probably know how John Williams' style and his music, at least for Star Wars, better than anybody. And as you've gotten inside it, what are some of the sort of tricks, or what are the techniques that he uses to make it sound so distinctive?
Yeah, I mean, he really developed sort of a harmonic language for Star Wars in particular, that is this harmonic minor sort of modal language. And I'm going to get really composer technical here, but using the major 7 in a minor key as sort of a consonant note, using the sharp 4 in a minor key as a consonant note. These are sounds that are really sort of iconic and you know, specific to the Star Wars sound. And then also the way he is able to sort of move minor triads in parallel motion over a rooted pedal bass is a very iconic sound as well that he created for this. And I mean, you know, a lot of it is rooted in classical music, and you know, I mean, you can certainly hear his inspiration from Holst and Shostakovich, and you know, I mean Stravinsky is certainly a huge inspiration to this music as well. And you know, I mean, I studied that. I studied his music, but then I also studied the source of his music. So I studied the composers that he was inspired by for this particular sound as well, sort of to get into his head.
Yeah, so that must have been kind of a Hall of Mirrors sort of thing, where you're writing in the style of Rimsky-Korsakov as John Williams would have written it.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But I figured, you know, it probably made the most sense to get as close as he was able to, you know, to get as close to the Star Wars sound as possible. I really wanted to live inside of John Williams' head. And in order to do that, I thought the best way to do that would be to, you know, understand what he was inspired by. Yeah. I mean, I'm of course inspired by his music, John Williams' music, but he was inspired by these great, you know, classical composers. And so I took that as a sort of a cue to, you know, study that music as well and really familiarize myself with that language.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it did definitely help.
Oh, yeah.
Sound, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were such brilliant orchestrators, too.
that, of course,
you know, just, I mean, you just never stop learning, really. So
exactly, yeah.
You had a lot of people looking over your shoulder for this music.
Yes, I did.
Lucasfilms and EA. I mean, was that more pressure than normal for a score?
It's the most pressure I've been under, as far as, you know, so many key players, you know, having a say. And but, you know, to be honest, it was, once we were all on the same page, it was pretty easy to get things approved. I mean, honestly, I don't think I ever had any piece of music that wasn't approved. But I still did have this pressure of, you know, first EA and DICE had to hear the mock-ups and sign off on them. And then it would then further go to Lucasfilm, then Disney, and then actually as a final step, John Williams himself. So it was a 6-week approval process from start to finish. When I finish a mock-up, send it off, and then 6 weeks later I would get a yay or nay, which, you know, very, very fortunately was always a yay in this case. But having to finish that far in advance of a recording session, that was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Knowing that, you know, it shaved 6 weeks off of my schedule pretty much every time.
Yeah, definitely. But, so did you get any feedback from John Williams, like specifically about things?
You know, I never did. There was only one time, actually, where I did get a bit of feedback. And it was actually when I was composing the music for one of the TV commercials for Battlefront. And that was the only time that I actually got feedback. And he suggested a different chord voicing. And I took his advice and used it, and he was absolutely right. It sounded great.
Wow. Well, yeah, that adds a whole extra level of complication, I guess, writing the music for the trailers too, in addition to the score.
Right, exactly, yeah. Which actually was kind of a unique challenge that I welcomed, and it's kind of a rare challenge to have too, because a lot of times they hire a different composer to deal with advertisements. So it was kind of cool to get to do that and use my own themes from the game and the advertisements as well.
Yeah, that's neat. You did have opportunities to write completely your own music for some of the planets that are visited in Battlefront that weren't in the original trilogy, like Sullust. And so that must have been kind of fun to really just sort of spread your wings and write stuff that's completely new.
Yeah, actually, absolutely. Sullust was a lot of fun because it, with the other planets, even though the music I was writing was original, like I wasn't using themes from John Williams, they still had to live alongside of music from those planets that John Williams wrote. So for instance, Tatooine, we might use 30 seconds of music from John Williams, and then I'd transition into something completely new and then write a 2-minute piece that was original and then transition back into John Williams and so forth, to create this long suite of mostly original music, but, you know, with these anchor points of original music from John Williams from the first soundtracks. But with Sullust, because there was no source material from the original soundtracks, that was completely wide open universe for me to create something new. And I had a lot of fun with it because I wanted to create something that was sort of dark and brooding and, you know, sort of played off of the angular terrain that was Sullust, because it's a volcanic planet and, you know, kind of this brooding, boiling up kind of undercurrent that sort of matched the planet as well. And it was a lot of fun to work with.
Thank you.
it's really neat because the planet, I don't know, it reminds me of Iceland in a way that, you know, the ground could just like erupt at any moment. And there's such tension in your music too. It just really reflects that.
Yeah. What's interesting actually is I think Iceland was sort of a source inspiration for the planet, if I recall. They actually went to Iceland to record the sounds of volcanic activity and, you know, use some of the imagery as well to sort of inspire Solus. So that's kind of cool you picked up on that.
Yeah, well, it's neat. I love it in games when the environment becomes a character, kind of.
Yeah.
And when the devs just really, really bring that to life. And you can do so much of that with the music too, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
So how much lead time did you have with getting material from the developers or getting a brief from them? Did you get to see, you know, at some point early builds of the game so that you'd have an idea of what they wanted?
Well, initially, because of where the music usually comes into play in the process on a video game, I was relatively early in the whole chain of events, so there wasn't a build necessarily ready for me to play, but I did have a lot of still imagery, just to inspire, you know, musically what I was going to do. So I had at least some visual images to work from. And then occasionally I could get, you know, sort of a gameplay video that was, you know, relatively rough to kind of look at and get a feel for, you know, how the music would accompany it. But yeah, there was no build to play until at least the initial release, and then I could play the game, which was great. And then so all of the DLC was even, you know, more inspired by actually getting to play the game and see how it worked and etc.
Yeah, well, what's so cool about it, playing Battlefront and then watching Empire Strikes Back in the same night, yes, last night, is they did the same thing in the game that the film has, where there's like little swoops of music that just kind of come in, and then there's long dry spells where it's just the film or just the game. And I think that really kind of helps reinforce the fact that these people at DICE clearly loved the films and they wanted to make this game as close to the experience of watching the movie as they could.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, and with games even further, you'll have long, long stretches of action because, you know, as a player, you may play for 5 minutes, you may play for 30 minutes. So they know that going in, and they wanted to make sure that nothing ever became tiring to the ear. So you wouldn't want wall-to-wall music. Just like in the films, it's not wall-to-wall music. It comes in the key moments when you know, emotions should be heightened or the action is at its peak. And then music kicks in to take it to the next level. And so they followed that format from the films as well with the game.
What's so interesting too is, you know, there are moments in the films where you just get these long, sweepy melodies, and it must have been kind of a challenge for you to make such short little cues too. I mean, did you kind of feel at times like, oh, I just want this to be a little bit longer?
Well, what's interesting is, yes, absolutely, that's completely correct. And so my approach to sort of alleviate that is I actually wrote long suites of music. And then I just wrote them so that sections of that music could be modular. So it could work as one long 10-minute piece of music, but then you could separate out 2-minute chunks and use them, you know, separately, and they would loop as well. So you could have a 2-minute loop. And then you could even further from that separate out just 1 minute and loop that 1 minute. And it still worked musically. So you ended up with 10 modular pieces of music that could then create 5 modular pieces of music that could then create one long 10-minute suite of music, which is usually used in the menus and, mm-hmm. and the credits of the game.
Yeah, which is neat. You really focused on giving each of the locations a very distinctive musical personality, like we were just talking about with Sullust. But what kind of personality or what sort of musical signature were you going for with the Death Star DLC?
Dark. Yeah. Scary. full of turmoil and action. And, you know, I wanted it to have, you know, sort of a really heavy emotion to it because, you know, it is the sort of the pinnacle of the storyline and, you know, two of the films at least, and even in The Force Awakens, you know, very similar storyline where this the Death Star is sort of the story, and that's sort of the pen in the map, so to speak, that everything is sort of aiming towards. So it needed to have something that was very heavy and you know, called attention to the weight of that in the storyline. So I wrote a new theme for the Death Star that's specific to Battlefront, and then treated that theme in many different ways. So there's an introduction that is this very heavy sort of overture to the Death Star, and then I have a couple of action battle sequences that fragment that melody and sort of treat it in a much more sort of exciting kind of way, but it's still very dark and you know, certainly leans more towards the Imperial sound. And then there's a couple what we call in Battlefront exploratory cues, which is, it's not quite a full-blown action battle sequence, but it's sort of, it has hints of about to jump into battle, but still has mostly emotional content and sort of, you know, sort of background instrumentation, if you will.
Yeah, it must have been fun to have sort of a not exactly a blank canvas, obviously, but still able to like really just sort of crank it up and do what you wanted with
exactly.
it.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And of course, there's plenty of material from the original soundtracks as well associated with the Death Star that we used clips from. And then I, like I was saying before with the Tatooine, I would use those maybe 30 seconds of something from John Williams that was associated with the Death Star, then transition into the new Death Star theme for Battlefront. And in all cases, I was trying to heighten, take it, you know, one level up from where it was before, emotionally, if you will. So it was a lot of fun to work with. And I tend to like working with the darker material, too. So that's always a blast.
Yeah, well, just all the way through, it just sounds like you were just so into this and really, really enjoying it. And did you put a lot of pressure on yourself knowing that the fans would be counting on you to, you know, create something that was so close to the films?
Yeah. So fan pressure is one of those things that both frightens me and drives me at the same time. And how I usually handle that is I just remind myself that that I'm also a big fan of this music and of this film franchise. So I just try to block the, you know, millions of people that are going to hear this and judge me, you know, compared to, you know, someone who I think of as sort of my musical idol. And I try to forget about that and just write music that I would personally appreciate as a fan, because I am a fan. So, and that takes a bit of the pressure off, but it is always sort of looming in the background. And, you know, I try to, as often as possible, use it as a motivator.
Yeah, and that sounds like the perfect way to think about it, because, you know, as you said, you are also a fan, and so you've got a lot riding on this, too.
Right.
Have you been able to take your experience of, you know, really getting into John Williams and using his techniques, have you been able to use that at all in other projects that you've been working on now?
Yeah, actually, I have. I just actually wrapped up a score for another game project, which I don't think as of this exact minute I'm allowed to say or announce, but what the project is. But it was based in an existing franchise, I'll say that. And very different musically, but still the fact that it was based in an existing IP, I was, you know, I had to at least try to get into the mode of what that music was. And so I applied the same principles from working on Battlefront to this other project, and it worked out quite well. So I was still able to create something very original, but it'll still please the fans of that franchise as well. And I think it is a skill that, you know, or a process rather, that I think crosses over to pretty much any franchise.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you could, you know, now have your own niche of, you know, well, you know, if you want music that sounds like Hans Zimmer, you could call Gordy, or
right, exactly.
Well, it has been really a lot of fun talking with you. We're just so excited about the new DLC for Death Star, and I know there's going to be more DLC on the way. And man, thanks so much for spending some time to talk about it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.